we're rolling. Hey, pro nerds. What's up? Welcome to I'm Not Famous. I was kind of admiring your dance there, Kerry. Whatever you were doing.
All I had was Fred Durst in the back of my head, rolling. I thought you were getting ready for some.
I'm leaving. You brought up Limp Bizkit. I'm out.
Like, I'm sure it's in the soundtrack of one of these movies. So we're right on topic.
One of these movies. But before we bring up one of these movies, obviously, Kerry and Iggy here, we're your not famous host. But we need to introduce our guest really quickly before we get carried away with Fred Durst. Let's talk a little. Mr. David Phillips, how's it going, David?
What's up, buddy?
I'm doing all right. In the background. Yeah, you hear the applause.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's crazy because we used to do these like in person, so there was more noise in the background. So we'll have to add like a laugh track and stuff for you. I'll add it post. So.
Or just people talking about things nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Right. That's probably more accurate, actually, based on our record. So obviously, for those that don't know Mr. David Phillips, he is a producer extraordinaire, and you can catch reviews for his wonderful movies such as The Maestro and, of course, more recently, let me plop that overlay up, Eat Wheaties, which Kerry is still jealous of me. He was jealous of me because I saw it long before he even had the chance there. So I definitely held it over his head, David. I kept it, made sure he felt a little shame about that.
Yeah, spoiler alert. That was the best part. It's like, spoiler alert, it's good. I'm like,
it's good. But you're also obviously many other projects too. And you can find another interview with you and I should have done some research. The director from, yes, thank you. From back at Tallgrass Film Festival, we connected. And so you're aware, David, this is an 8-episode season and you are our 4th Tallgrass alum on this season. Yeah, we're Tallgrassing it up.
But so, the last one, we save the best for last.
And that makes a lot of sense to me. It really does. That's a good bold choice. I can see you guys are going to go far with this little.
This is it. This is the one that takes us viral, sends us into.
But at the same time, there's pressure now. Like, I have to be much more interesting and exciting than all the other Tallgrassians. So I'll try to bring that. I'll bring my A game, you know?
There you go. Awesome. I want to, before we talk theme of the show, talk some other things, I do want to talk Eat Wheaties. We've dropped it a couple times. I've got the giant Tony Hell here, but he kind of covers up your Instagram. So we'll go to the little poster. Wait, yeah, here we go. I'll put him back there. There you go. let's talk. And it is on, we do have a Nerdcast episode too with a good chunk of the production crew. But for those that don't watch the Nerdcast, don't listen to the Nerdcast, tell them, what are they getting if they check out Eat Wheaties?
Well, Eat Wheaties is, you're getting a really amazing cast that we were so lucky to have. Tony Hale is the lead, and he's playing a guy named Sid Straw, who is, he's kind of like, I think everyone in their life has a friend that tries a little too hard, that's a little awkward on social media. I think during this pandemic, especially, we all discovered certain people we didn't know were as awkward on social media, because now that they had time to tell us every thought that they had, you're like, that's a little much. I know I had a few people that were like that. So basically what happens with him is he's asked to co-chair the Penn reunion. He went to Penn, and while he's super excited because, again, he's having trouble connecting with society. So he's reaching out to his former classmates, and it reminds him that he went to school with Elizabeth Banks. And so then he slowly becomes like obsessed with trying to get her to come to the reunion because he thinks it'll be really cool. And they also had a pretty good sort of like acquaintance back in the day. So he goes to her Facebook page and just starts posting, but it's on the public page. They're not private messages or anything. And then slowly people start to take notice. It goes viral. His life collapses. And I don't want to give away the ending, but it's that kind of like cringy comedy / I hope you kind of feel for the guy, because I think in essence, everyone's made a couple mistakes on social media. It's one time or another. And we all know somebody or something that blew up where it shouldn't have and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's a fun comedy that I was really happy to produce with a really great team who did the other podcast with you. That was Scott Abramovich, who wrote and directed and produced it with me, as well as Daniel Norris Webb, the executive producer.
Right. Yeah. So that was a good team. You guys got to hang out with Gallo and Q, I think, for that one.
They were great.
They're pretty fun guys too. I watched the movie as we were talking about before we started this. I purchased it. I love it. It's fantastic. The cast, as you mentioned Tony Hale, Alan Tudyk, who is one of my favorites, and I know he's not a main character. He's not like Tony Hale level of scenes in it, right? But I love Alan Tudyk, and he's hilarious in it. He plays another guy that everybody knows in their life too, right? But I think the shining star was Paul Walter Hauser. I couldn't, man. Every time he was on camera in this movie, I swear. And then to learn that, especially that, I'm going to say that one scene where you said that was the first scene he did, and he ad-libbed that scene too. Yeah. It is probably one of the funniest moments in the movie. Like, the guy is hilarious. He is so great. I can't imagine what it was like to work with him.
Oh, it's hard to talk about it because it sounds so cliche, but this really was a producer's dream. Once Tony Hale was on board and really loved the script, he's just such a great guy, and he's such a talent that everyone wants to work with. And his agency, UTA, they really were helpful, and they were suggesting people. We had a really good casting director, Lisa London. And then we, even reached out to a couple people that we'd worked with in the past to get them on board. So it just was such a great feeling. But Paul Walter Hauser was one of those people that, we were interested in him. We weren't sure if he's going to be a part. It was kind of like last minute on his particular role. And then he ended up doing it. He flew in like the day before. He comes to set on the very first day. And again, no one had ever worked with him. You never really know what people are going to be like. And he just completely started improvising. The first shot, first scene, at one point, this isn't a huge spoiler, but he grabs a stapler and puts a staple in his hand. and it's the most hilarious thing ever. And that literally was his first take. And when we called cut, like, all of us were on the floor laughing because we're watching the monitor, because especially that, it's like a brand new actor, and like, we're all stoked for him because we've seen his work before. And so we're kind of watching, like, oh, okay, what's this guy going to be like? So we're watching, and then we're like, what the fuck? And then we just like lost it. it was great. It was a really cool. So Tudyk as well. Like, he came and I think he worked like 3 or 4 days. And again, like, just the nicest guy. Like, I think that's what I really liked on this set, was that everyone was there to make a really good movie and have a good time. And there wasn't anyone that showed up with any sense of like, well, I've done this and I've done that. And I think that really is a testament to Tony, because usually your lead actors and it's also a testament to Scott as well, because I think it starts from the top down. It people pick up the vibe of the lead actors that are there the entire shoot, and they pick up that vibe from the director and I think the producers as well. And if you can provide kind of a warm, we're in this together, we're not doing this for any other reason than making a really funny, great movie, I hope that's what people feel on the films that I produce. And I know for sure with Tony's energy and with Scott's energy and Dan Webb's energy that it just really laid the groundwork. And so, it was a dream to shoot. And that's why we've been sitting on this, and then the release got delayed due to the pandemic and everything like that. And also we got into these great film festivals where we weren't able to sit there with an audience and watch it. Mm-hmm. And it's a comedy, so like the jokes aren't funny at all anymore to us, because we've seen it 100 times. So it's been bittersweet, but now that it's out, we're getting solid reviews, and we're getting people saying kind things like yourself, Iggy. It's been really lovely for us. Yeah,
not just me. Nick, who is the one who reviewed it for our site, gave it a 9 out of 10. Yeah. Nick's a little picky on movies too, I'll be honest with you. Courtney did a video review. I don't think she technically scored it, but super positive raised on it. Gallo, who you said did the Nerdcast with before I even had the chance to see it, because Gallo was the one handing Nick the link and everything. So I think he snuck a peek. He messaged me and he was like, dude, this movie was way better than even I expected it to be. So he, we're loving it. But you also mentioned too, you're talking about the cast on this one. We also have Alicia Cuthbert, Daniel Brooks, who's hilarious. I mean, we got Sarah Chalk, who Scrubs actually right here. I'm a Scrubs through and through. I love that show. But I even go back as far as The Maestro with Xander Berkeley. You've had a chance. Your production company has worked with some great, great actors and actresses there. Like you've had some great talent in front of those cameras.
Yeah. Well, that's always the hope, right? And it's always about you know, hopefully having projects that speak to people and people want to be a part of, you know, and then creating that sort of synergy, you know. And there was a couple people, like I said, like I try to work with the same people as well. There's, you know, on this, for instance, Lamorne Morris, I'd worked with him years ago on something and, you know, gave him a shout and was like, hey, dude, like Tony Hale movie, are you free? And he was like, hey, Dave, what the hell? You know, and like he was interested. And even Kristen Gutowski, who, you know, has a very small part in this as the bank clerk, you know, she was in The Maestro. And so I don't know. I think it's because I have like this the theater roots of doing rep theater for a few years. The part of me that wants to kind of create, keep doing that and keep trying to use, you know, similar, some of the same cast and some of the same crew as much as you can, you know, to create that sort of sense of camaraderie and family, which I think, and this might be, you know, sound a little arty farty, but I think it comes out in the product when there's a lot of love on set and there's a lot of people trying and feeling confident and comfortable. I think you're going to get a better product. You know, I think the camera kind of catches that more than if there's tons of tension and people are just going through the motions and doing, you know, what they do. So
hopefully, you say it sounds cliche, but it's the reason it's said so many times, because it's true. It's true. If you got that environment you're talking about. So I do, because Carrie, I think we need to do it now. There's another film. Okay, go ahead.
Would you consider it to be a family when you're on set? Like, would you consider it to be a family?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, we're only there for a few weeks together, but I think we try to create a family vibe with what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Interesting.
Carrie's leading you in for the theme of our season.
By the nose right here.
He's leading you in for the theme of our season, Dave, because we're going to talk family right now, because are you ready?
Bring it.
Ask any racer, any real racer. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
It's time for a Fast and Furious edition episode. And that's right, David, you're joining us for Fast 8 or Furious 8, whatever, the Fate of the Furious. That's what it's called. Fast and Furious. All right. Have you watched these movies? These works of art, as we should call them.
You know what? I feel like I'm going to like really let down the podcast right now. I've never actually watched one.
Nope. That's even better. That's even better. You're not letting us down. If you can't tell, we're leaning into this theme hard. And actually, I'll tell you what I think it was actually, because Carrie, you reached out, it was November when we're like, man, we need to do I'm Not Famous, because we normally do these in person, and as we mentioned with the pandemic stuff, so like we need to just get online and do them. And Carrie, for some reason, you were watching like a Fast and Furious marathon because you had nothing else to do, and he's like, so we're like, made a joke, let's theme the whole season around each episode. And
yeah, you sent me the graphic. I think the graphic that's on the screen right now, I think you had sent me this graphic of Arthur Vin Diesel in a car, and it was like just like the caption, let's go. And I was fully on board. I wasn't on board with all the research we would have to do. And by we, as a producer, David, you probably know there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I did a lot of research, if you want to call it that, on this franchise. So,
how many times have you seen each movie?
Okay, I'll be honest. I watched Fast 8 again today. I was at a public high school where I was supposed to be working, but I was watching Fast 8. I was so enthralled with the almost culmination of this franchise, what we thought would be the end of this franchise, and I had to watch it again today. I still have about 20 minutes left, so after this, a few more blue lights, and I will be finishing Fast 8.
Are you watching this while doing this right now?
I think so. I think that's what's in your
right screen. Now. I see there's something in your glasses right
now. Yeah, there's definitely captions. It's just mumbling. As HB said, it's just Vin Diesel mumbling. So I'm not missing any of the dialogue. So I'm just in action scenes. But it was definitely, you know, for Fast 8, for what it was, this was the first one without Paul Walker's character, but they replaced him perfectly with Scott Eastwood, apparently. They thought that would be a great replacement, it seemed like. But yeah, Fate of the Furious, I am ready and willing to give you all the details on this amazing movie.
Is this my airplane one? Is this the airplane one?
This is the, yes, the baby on an airplane with Jason Statham.
That scene in the whole franchise, David. He Jason Statham has to save a baby from an airplane. So he goes up there and puts like some silencing headphones on him with classical music. And he's in the baby carrier and he's flinging him around and flipping him around and pushing him out of the way as he's in gunfights with other guys. The door on the side of the plane opens while people are being sucked out and he's holding on to the baby. And then, of course, he makes like some kind of dirty diaper joke about one of the dead guys or the baby at the end. It's just beautiful.
This is
writing.
Number eight because I want to. Yeah. This is number I got.
Yeah,
hard on this now. Like,
oh yeah. Like, do you have the rundown, the eloquent detail of what this movie was?
Okay,
for me, ready? Go ahead.
The Fate of the Furious is a 2017 American action thriller film directed by F. Gary Gray and written by Chris Morgan. That summary doesn't really hold on. Let me find a better summary here. That's I usually find those summaries that are really good. That's weird.
Well, here's my summary. How about
okay,
that?
Okay, you got the summary. You do it. You do it. Okay.
So for all of us that have been tuned into all seven episodes prior, this is where the team, fully exonerated from Fast and Furious 7, is beginning to taste normalcy. The movie opens with Dominic Toretto, Vin Diesel's character, and Letty, Michelle Rodriguez, in Cuba. In another insane opening sequence, Vin Diesel is in a street race where the engine catches on fire, the windshield blows out, and he can only win after putting the car in reverse and hitting Nos. In an epic, unexpected, of course, turn of events, Dominic Toretto now turns from the entire family and pursues being a villain with Charlize Theron. I mean, come on.
Wow.
The plot twist. David, I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's going to be down between Fast and Furious 9 and Eat Wheaties for the best picture this year. Like, it's going to be that Fast and Furious 9 there is, I don't know. And you got, I think, Justin Lin coming back.
When's 9 coming out?
So it dropped last weekend internationally and $160 million at the box office. So as much as we're making fun of this franchise this season,
it works. It makes money.
And it's, if there was a summer blockbuster to get the theater experience back, it's this one. I think here in the States, we're still a little bit behind. I think it's going to be the end of June because of us still opening up theaters everywhere and being a little further behind it. But yeah, number eight, the one we're talking about, by the way, $1.236 billion at the global box office.
Amazing.
Bananas. I think, remember, if we were talking yesterday, it's over $4 billion for the franchise as a whole. Like, good night, too. What was crazy, because David, you know HP pretty well, too, HP Mendoza.
Yeah.
And we talked to him a couple episodes ago, and HP knows, like, Justin Lin, who's directed, like, over half of these movies. And he talks, he was talking about him, like, how great of a guy he was and everything, too. It was, like, a really kind of cool, like, I did not expect us to actually link to the franchise somewhere, but he did. So I don't know. But it's, the fact you haven't seen it, you've done yourself a favor.
Well,
however,
the reason I haven't is just because I know that the target demographic is exactly the same as Eat Wheaties, you know?
So right, is that what it is?
I don't want to throw them too much support.
Because you had to wait for Tony Hale to rap on Fast 9 to get him into Eat Wheaties.
That's it. That as well. Yeah, exactly. So there's just a lot of mutual respect, but just, you know, we try to keep it arm's length. Yeah, us and the Fast and the Furious fan franchise.
Right. So here's the deal, David. We're putting you. So we started building Fast and Furious 10 with our guests. And as it evolved, we realized we're just making our own film franchise, Slow and Cautious. That's our new franchise. So obviously, we need you to produce this film franchise for us. You're going to be a producer, but we want you to star in it too. So this is what's important. We need to know what role you want. We have Ellie Newlands, who was our first actress that joined us, and she wants to be kind of a badass in a love triangle with Idris Elba and The Rock, who I guess we have to bring over from the Fast and Furious franchise. We had a trash-talking robot who wants to be the guy who says the cliche things and possibly dies like right afterwards. My father was a guest on the series, and he just wants to do a role that makes him a lot of money. Then we had Sav Rogers was on, and Sav wants to be like the Charlie Day and Pacific Rim style character, like the really crazy to the side, like comic relief.
Oh, that's great. All right, he's great.
Right. And then Dez is like a model cosplayer covered in tattoos. So wants to be the tattoo artist, but the twist is she's actually the villain that's betraying them. And then we got HP, who's going to be was he going to be another villain, I think. And then like recoup, but he wants to direct also, but he wants his catchphrase to be like in English, please. After every time somebody says something to him.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I don't even remember. What did Ethan pick last night, Carrie? Do you remember?
I honestly don't.
Oh, he was the crossing guard who was disguised. He was part of part of like the British Secret Service. He was part of the CIA.
CIA. Like, I'm gonna be MI5. Then I'm gonna be this. Then I'm gonna be this. The triple sabotage. I kind of lost track. So
right. So that's our cast so far. So we need to know what character you're playing in this franchise. Where are you fitting in?
That's tough because I think there's a lot of things that were taken. This is the hard part about coming so late to the franchise, you know, a lot of solid roles, you know, have already been snagged because I was going to say, I feel like I have like just natural boyish charm that people trust sometimes, but then I can also swing into being this villainous, hard-hitting jerk douchebag, which back in my acting days, I usually played rich douchebags. That was kind of my go-to role. So like I play that very comfortably. So that's why I was going to go off the top originally. But man, I think I want to be like the eye candy. I want to not have a lot of lines and just kind of like be around, you know, all the time. And then maybe at the end, I suddenly have like a total switch where I go with the bad people at the last second or something like that.
It's all right. It's a whole franchise, so we need multiple villains, so that works.
Yeah,
I think we're already greenlit for like 13 of these films.
I want to have an excuse to spend a lot of time at the gym, get super buffed, and like, and then wear like crop top mesh shirts all the time, and not say a lot. Just be the eye.
I love it. Carrie, pencil him in. We'll get the contract over.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that you could play a British accent. You could be, you know, our Jason Statham, our Luke Evans character. I really thought you'd be able to play the charming British villain.
I could do that, but it's a little on the nose, don't you think? And you know, we want to surprise the people, you know?
I like it.
Was it the tattoo artist that suddenly switches? Dez. Maybe her like guy who's just like her right hand eye candy man.
And then when she's picked off, you take over. That's when you take over the family, the gang
time,
or whatever it is.
All this time they thought I was just the eye candy, but no.
You really?
For the smarts come out.
Turns out, and there'll be a whole scene in like our ninth movie where they realize they're like, we never thought he could do it, but now that we see his file and he graduated top of his class at Harvard, like, and all this stuff, like they'll have like a whole expose about like
cut back to previous movies where it looked like I wasn't doing much other than looking beautiful, but I actually was like behind the scenes, like, you know, figuring things out, you know, leaving clues.
Yeah, I think we got an after credit stinger right here ready to build up too. I'm pretty sure I will say this before I make my next joke. We are not affiliated with NBC Universal, but I'm also pretty sure NBC Universal has greenlit this new franchise of ours for like 13 movies, David. So you're on board. You're set for the next decade. This is all we're working on for the next 10 years.
I'll start looking up the mesh shirt crop tops.
Like tomorrow, you know, that's okay. we would appreciate it. It reminded me a lot when I went back through these movies, when Scream came out and then Scary Movie came out. Scary Movie to me was better. Let's be honest. I mean, Slow and Cautious one, you know, The Reckoning is going to be better.
The Reckoning.
with the cast, as you mentioned.
I love that it's called The Reckoning with Slow and Cautious.
I think I just came up with it. I think we've been like coming up with stuff on the spot, but you mentioned at the beginning, the cast is critical. We've had 8 amazing guests through this entire season that have been willing to participate in this project. And with Ellie Newlands and everyone else, to you, it's been so much fun that you guys have embraced this crazy thought process that we had going from you're in Fast and Furious 10 to, hey, we're going to have a computer write a script for Slow and Cautious, and we're just going to make this thing.
Let's do it. Why not?
Eventually. When we all get to that point in our careers, we'll eventually like release this this film for real. Now, I think, you're right, Carrie. We've had a great set of guests, including you, David. We love hanging out with you and everybody we've got the chance to hang out with. And I think, yeah, it was, again, it started as a joke and it's actually made us next season. We have to find another film franchise to theme the whole season around because it's been a blast. It's really been kind of cool. And we do have some trivia. Carrie's going to have trivia for us at the end too that we're going to have to guess. Is it a something else quote or is it a Fast and Furious 8 quote? So you got to be ready for that.
That's great.
There you go. But let's, we'll talk more on Fast and Furious for sure. But in the meantime, let's talk about, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it yet. And I don't think this is going to ruin anything by saying it because you're a producer. So obviously you're working on something else. Is that anything else you can share or?
Well, it's funny because like what happened was, is that I had a very, very, it was such a solid project, but once the pandemic hit, it got pushed enough that eventually some of the investors also got pushed. And so we're trying to get the remainder of the funding. We have some for it, but we're trying to get the rest of it. So right now it's kind of one of those situations where I've got four films that have like a bit of funding or they've got some people attached. And so we're still in the like getting it all together stages where I don't want to start making any announcements or anything until it's fully locked in. Cause I've made that mistake before. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. So being up here, it's been good because now a lot of things are opening up. I'm in Toronto right now. I came up here because the pandemic and the election and the riots were a little crazy. And I was like, well, I'm dating a girl up in Toronto and my family's up here and it seems a little safer. I'm just going to go hang there for a bit. And so I did that. And then things got even weirder. And then I stuck around for Christmas. And so I've still been here. And I've been fortunate because I've been helping a couple buddies out on a couple of little films of theirs and doing some things up here and getting reacquainted with the motherland. But I plan on going back to LA in July. And, you know, I was talking today with some filmmaker friends that are down there and things are really opening up and things are really starting to get together and people are really excited about doing things. So I'm hoping that one of these projects really gets, you know, they have some legs, just want to get that like final thing where I can be like, okay, this is the next thing. And this is what
I'm so mad at you. I listened to the Nerdcast today and I was really excited to hear about this Canadian musician.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't tell me who it was.
Well, it's actually not a Canadian musician. It's actually an American musician. And that's, you know, we're on the script writing process. We have some potential financiers, but that's one of those films that like, I'm super, super excited about because it just, her life story is incredible and the music is great. And so we're just, if we can polish up this script, you know, we're on our first draft. We just finished. So we're just kind of getting pieces going to that.
I really thought it was a Larry.
No, it's Britney. It's Britney Spears, obviously.
No, it was a Lance Morissette, and you ruined it. You already ruined my life when I saw you on Facebook with a photo next to Sarah Chalk. That is like Alicia Cuthbert or however you say her name, like Girl Next Door, cool. But Sarah Chalk from Scrubs to Rick and Morty. This woman is amazing, and I see you standing next to her. I'm like, I hate you, man. You know, come on, that's not fair. You can't just like post it. And you, the fact that you have her in this movie is already amazing. But then you take like a little like selfie with her. I am very envious of your life, man. I am definitely.
She's, again, not to sound like a broken record, but you're going to hate me even more because she is like one of the nicest people. She came to set. She just has great energy. She was giving to the project. She went and did interviews for us and a bunch of press. She even up in because she's originally from Vancouver. So she did an interview thing for ET Canada and like and then was on the Drew Barrymore show in the States and did stuff for, you know, talking about the movie and talking about her projects. So like she's just really amazing. She's great. So, yeah. And as far as Alanis Morissette, it's not her. But isn't it ironic?
Don't you think? Don't you think?
See, that was a hint that it's Britney Spears, Carrie. Obviously, it's Britney. Britney Spears is trending
right now. I watched it all day today, and it was a great lead up. That interview was awesome. I love the way that you and Dan and Scott, if I got the three names right,
that's right,
were awesome on it. Getting to see the Colorado like banners in the background. You obviously know we're out here in Denver seeing the Avalanche banners. We got hockey going on. It was great to listen to, but even better to see. But I thought the lead up was going to be Alanis Morissette. I was sold. I was told that American.
She has a she has a musical already about her music, apparently. That like
does was, she Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, Alanis Morissette, and it was I think it was just opening on Broadway or been open for a bit when the pandemic hit and closed everything down. If I recall correctly, but yeah, she has a. It's all based on Jagged Little Pill. That was a great interview. Yeah, and that's the thing that like you know, again, one of the things we bond about a lot was hockey because Dan is like a huge hockey guy from Colorado, and I love it when I meet Americans that are huge hockey fans. From being from Canada, everyone's a huge hockey fan, but when you meet Americans that are super hockey fans, they're like on another level because they had to like own that stuff. Especially ones that are a little bit older. Like I feel like hockey's a little bit like younger people are more into in the States, but yeah, he's like a diehard fan. He's so good. Like he plays all the time. Like he brought, like I went and bought skates to go hang and like go back to the arena, and I hadn't been in years. So I'm in LA and this guy skates circles around me and I'm the Canadian. It's mildly embarrassing, but at the same time, he's just such a great guy. He doesn't rub in my face and actually gave me a couple tips. So it's great. But yeah, like that's the kind of bonding that we had. And Scott plays as well from Montreal, which again, it's a you know Montreal Toronto should be a rivalry, but I never felt that at all.
See, like, but Q missed his part. He was a bat boy for the Expos.
Yeah,
like I want just like a 5 minute like quick little like interview. Like, what was it like to be a bat boy for like Moises Alou? You know, in Montreal, you know, as an Expo. You know, I obviously grew up in like Buffalo, so seeing that kind of team. But I feel like Q, if you're listening, you missed it. Gallo, you missed it. He said he was a bat boy for the Expos.
Yeah. We
always probe in on that. Come on, man.
Well, I can see Q missing it, but Gallo's the baseball dude. Oh, no, too. Yeah,
that was shocking. When people, like, because that's a huge story. And honestly, get Scott back. Scott will come back and hang with you guys anytime. He's a really down-to-earth dude. He would love to come back. He had a great time on that show as well. So I'm sure he'll come back and tell you all about being a bat boy for the Expos because he's got some good stories.
We're going to have like a side project. Yeah. He might be untouchable, as HP mentioned in our prior podcast, but it was one of those where you guys went rookie of the year. Angels in the outfield should have been on that list. Major League was there. But what, as you mentioned, I think Dan, I forget if it was Dan or Scott, that said their next project should be a really immersive hockey movie that we haven't seen yet.
That was Dan.
And I was really stoked for that because the way you talked about the cinematography aspect of it, and we've seen it with football movies. I think we've seen it with other things, but we talked at Tallgrass to the creator of Ice Guardians, which was awesome. He had me fired up about the Enforcers, and to see it on like a real like 4K kind of thing, man, I was sold. You got me through my hour long commute to school today. So, hey, appreciate that.
Yeah, Dan also does, you know, what's become obviously very, we've all seen the clips of the cinematographers on the rollerblades going in and out of traffic and cars, and it's all choreographed and doing all that stuff, especially for films like Fast and the Furious. So Dan's approach, I mean, he gets on skates and he's got the same, so he's got a rig and he's been shooting, you know, various promo for things on ice. And so his kind of thing is like, look, we've got the technology. Let's make a super, super in-your-face immersive, using the technology, using cinematography and the small cameras and like, you know, a really good cinematographer to make you really feel the hard hitting action of a hockey game, and how fast everything's moving. So I don't know.
I think awesome. It could be good for the sport too, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
I think it really could. Totally. I don't know. Before we move on real quick, the guys are obviously, they're talking the Nerdcast 242. You can catch that on the same podcast feed. You get your I'm Not Famous. It isn't over on YouTube. Yeah, I think, or they, no, we may have dropped the video. Wow.
Yeah, the video.
Yeah. I don't run this band brand or anything.
The video was awesome. I mean, Dan's stories, you know.
Okay, Scott, so the video is dropped on YouTube.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. My bad. I know we got the audio out first. That's why I got confused.
That's right. So. The audio came out and then I believe the video was up. I know I was
I obviously know that because I run Project Nerd really well. Yeah. Anyways, awesome. Yeah. No, it's great. It's always a joy having you on. I have loved. We've hung out at a couple tall grasses now.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you get a chance to get back there again. I'm excited for not just that one, but film festivals and conventions in general to like start get to go places again. Like, I'm looking forward to that. For sure. And I just had
it's the hardest thing is just like, you know, especially with something like Eat Wheaties, where it was a comedy and it did well. Right. And like literally 1 week was Whistler, and then the next week was Maui. And I'm like, if this wasn't a pandemic, I would have gone from Whistler to Hawaii in 2 weeks, and that would have been really amazing.
That would have been awesome.
But hey, Alaska. Here we are.
I think this is the type of movie, though, I think that has that, it has the potential for, what do you call it, like a cult following in the long run.
You know, people have said that in some of the nice reviews and stuff. And, you know, obviously what's been the best for me is that we all thought we had something kind of weird and kind of fun. And the fact that people are saying things like that, obviously that's the hope, is that people watch it and enjoy it. And I think that's another thing, too, is that, like, it speaks to this type of film because it's not violent. It's not, you know, there's not tons of sex. It's just, it's really clever and it's heartfelt at the end. And there's a lot of cringy moments, but I think they're cringy because everyone can relate to those things. And so hopefully people keep responding.
Well, all I could think of was my family members when you talk about cringy members, because that's who I pictured doing social media.
Totally.
Well, I think that's what my big question that I kind of wrote down is, you know, obviously you're a producer of this film, you know, is cult following, you know, better because it's going to create that legacy, or is the box office success? What are you kind of chasing? Are you chasing both, or would you rather the Eat Wheaties stay around for the next 10, 15, 20 years? What's your thoughts?
That's an on-the-spot question, dude. You got a big,
Look, I think at this point in my career, if the only reason I was doing this was for money, I don't think I'd still be kicking around, because at times you put so much of your heart and soul into films and they don't, neither happens. Right. And so I think the sweet spot is the honest spot is, of course, you're chasing both. You know, you want to make enough money back that your investors are happy, that everyone makes a little bit of money, that you can support your life and make another one, you know, and you want to keep creating. That said, you know, I think about the movies that inspired me and the cult classics that I really loved and, you know, that came back and people are still talking about. And I think as human beings, we want to have a legacy. You want to have that. And that for me, you know, money comes and goes, but if I could have one film that 20 years later, you know, people are still talking about or like referencing or thinking about, then I think ultimately I would choose that one, as, you know, corny as that might sound.
No, it's not corny.
That was a solid answer. That was a solid
answer. And I appreciate it. I think we've talked to people before and, you know, I think we get the corny answer a lot, but that was an honest answer. And I really appreciate it. And I really respect what you said. I think that's kind of what we all chase in whatever our profession is, right? We all, you know, want to chase a legacy where we're actually thought about afterwards or our persona lives on. So I really appreciate that answer. That was pretty sweet.
Well, because there's, I think that's the thing is that, I mean, I think I said everything I need to say. I don't need to reiterate it, but yeah, I appreciate the question. But yeah, I think ultimately if I had to choose one or the other, it'd be that, because you can find money anywhere. Like it can come and go. It is fleeting, but if you could have something out there that people still admire and respect years and years later, that your grandkids feel cool that their grandpa made all those years ago when they're talking about a movie in the playground or something, then yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, that'd be great.
It is cool. I got some comments for you, but we have to wait till after we're recording because I can't share them with the live audience. So, but I've got some thoughts on that stuff too. But before we do, we're going to head into our last segment, but I do want to say, obviously, you can pick up Eat Wheaties wherever you can order, like rent or purchase a digital movie. I do know this week, David, whoever reached out to us to offer us a DVD screener. So I think the DVD is around the corner. It sounds like
it is. Yeah. It's coming out on the 15th of June. That's when the DVD is coming. So yeah, we're all stoked for that.
Perfect. Carrie, you don't get it for review. I turned them down. Cause I sent her there. I said, we already reviewed it. I was like, we were step ahead of you, lady. We were step ahead of you.
I love that you're mentioning this, because as producers, I got to say Screen Media has been fantastic with all the press and getting out there, but it's nice to sometimes hear things like that, that you don't know about, that just lets you know that the engine's still running, that it's still going. So it's been great. So thanks for
that's good. We got the email this week, and just for your sake, I'll tell you, I sent her the reviews we had and then the podcast that you did and she was like, awesome. Thank you. So hopefully they use it for some promotional stuff. We appreciate it too, because then I can get our name on the promotional stuff. Absolutely. So, yeah. Right. Awesome. But we do have one more awesome thing to do. And Carrie, this is the last one of the season. But are you ready?
I brought it.
What are you smiling about? Dude, I almost had you. You almost had me?
It's our last Fast and Furious showdown. And David, I let you know earlier, Carrie's got some trivia prepped. What trivia do we got today, Carrie?
I mean, it should be unspoken, but it's famous Canadians that made quotes.
Okay, so he's gonna tell us quotes, mm-hmm. and then we have to let him know, is this a famous Canadian quote, or is it a quote from the Fate of the Furious, Fast and Furious 8? No buzzing in, no anything. We'll both answer, everyone. Feel free to jump in and try to answer more quickly or not. I would like to say I'm the undefeated champ, but Carrie will tell you I'm lying, so I can't really say that. Actually, I will say HP probably did the best. So as we've mentioned him a few times, you've got to step it up here to beat him. He was pretty solid at this.
But... I don't know. Ellie was finishing my quotes. HP was giving way too many analytical commentaries on the quote. So I think it's 1A and 1B between the two of them. But yeah, we're definitely there.
I think David can take him. I think he can take him. So you ready for this?
Bring it. I know my Canucks. Right. Come on. I think
there we go. All right.
Quote number one. I'm a meathead. I can't help it, man. You've got smart people and you've got dumb people.
I think that's a Canadian quote.
I'm gonna agree with David. I don't know where that would fit in Fast and Furious. So I'm gonna agree with David on this. Canadian.
And it's probably comedian. It's probably like something from like SCTV or something like that, or like Kids in the Hall or something. That's what I would guess.
That was a Canadian that said it, and it was Keanu Reeves.
Really?
Wow.
I gave him credit for being Canadian. I know he's not. He was born in Lebanon, but he's Canadian. No. So I don't know if you guys claim him, but he says he's Canadian.
I mean, any chance you get to claim Keanu, you claim
Keanu. Right.
Okay. Right. Oh, let's see. Life opens up opportunities to you, and you either take them or you stay afraid of taking them.
I think that's Fast and the Furious.
I don't want to keep agreeing with David, but that's totally – like, I see the sunset going in the background, and Vin Diesel's there up against the car. It's – yeah, totally.
That was a quote by Jim Carrey.
That was a good curveball. That totally would have worked. You write that one down for our slow and cautious franchise, Carrie.
Life opens up opportunities to you, and you either take them or you stay afraid of them. As HP would say, oh no, afraid, always Fast and Furious. They're always afraid. All right. I choose to make my own fate.
Ooh.
That could be both. Like,
I mean, we're talking about like inspirational quotes. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna go Fast and Furious just because I feel like you wouldn't do three in a row.
See, I was gonna do that same thing, but because I need to pick something different than him, I'll say famous Canadian.
That was a Fast and Furious quote.
Yeah,
that was Dominic Toretto to the new cast member Charlize Theron, also known as Cypher in Fast and Furious 8, who reprises her role in Fast and Furious 9, spoiler alert. Manny's and Petty's at the mall later on today.
Oh, I'm rewatching that right now. That's Canadian.
Well, he said it very confidently, so I'm going to agree with Iggy. It's a Canadian quote.
Wow, you're both wrong. That was Fast and Furious 8. That was The really? Rock! The Rock.
And The Rock said it?
Yes, he did.
Oh, okay, what's the quote again?
Manny's and Petty's at the mall later today. He was coaching his daughter's soccer team in the open. Hey, they have a normal life now. They're not villains anymore. They're not criminals. They have normal lives. He is a soccer coach. Big The Rock Johnson.
No, so on it. You know, I thought it was a fictional Canadian character. We're taking my daughter through a How I Met Your Mother right now. And I thought that was like a Robin Sparkles quote.
Okay, so that was one, just to let everybody, I didn't know if Robin Sparkles was going to be considered Canadian or not. It was a fictional character. So I tried to stay true to what we've done all season.
Okay, so I misled, I misled you too, David, because I thought it was, I totally went that direction.
I'm still ahead of you, so we're good.
Okay.
What is your skincare regimen? Because you look like a young Shirley Temple.
I don't know if you're trying to trick us again here with that like Manny and Petty one.
I think it's got it. That's got to be a Canadian quote. It's got to be.
Just to try to catch up on him on a point, I'm going to go Fast and Furious.
You're both right. Ryan Reynolds, Hobbs and Shaw. He says
it. All right. All right.
Didn't know if I'd throw you off on it. Figured you both do it, but
that's
yes.
Beautiful.
Not this movie, but the next movie, Ryan Reynolds has the cameo. He does say that about The Rock.
He is actually, as much as I do not like this franchise, and Hobbs and Shaw was terrible, I did watch that one. Ryan Reynolds was, as he typically is, hilarious in that movie. So I will give him a good shout out for that.
Which is awesome because he actually has a big line about the Game of Thrones. The big villain in this was the big red bearded dude from the Game of Thrones. So really good callback. Yeah, I felt
that's my Northern European spirit animal man right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I can have pierogies with that guy any day. All right. Two more. I have to spend a lot of time in the ice cream shops and a lot of time at Tay Tay concerts.
So Taylor Swift.
Now it's either the Fast and Furious people when they're in their like home life kind of thing and complaining about now they're not criminals, so they have to do this sort of crap. I can see that as a Fast and the Furious thing. Though I can also see that being, you know, a Canadian being interviewed talking about like having kids now. This is a tough one.
This isn't our last one, is it?
No, two more after this.
I'm gonna go with a Canadian quote.
Fast and Furious. Why not?
Fast and Furious, The Rock again in that same monologue. I can tell you guys, listen to me. Hopefully you're watching the video. Watch The Rock's monologue telling his young lady soccer team how to go win the game. Amazing. Manny Petty's Tay Tay. Awesome. Great dialogue. Great writing in Fast and Furious 8. All right. He's got this thing. It can be seen. It can see everything. It's like the thing called the devil's bumhole or something.
What? I'm going to go with Canadian again.
I'm going to agree with him on this one because that sounds like a comedian or something would say in an interview.
So let me make sure I read it all the way through. He's got this thing. It can be seen everywhere. It's like it's called the devil's bumhole or something. Was a quote by Dame Helen Mirren in Fast and Furious 8.
Helen Mirren said that? Yes, she did.
Because it was the God's eye. All right, last one.
You going to compliment that writing again for Fast and Furious?
I feel like she ad-libbed that line. It's like, if I'm going to be in
modern
this.
Modern Shakespeare is what I'm hearing.
Is that what it is?
All right. They said I wasn't born. They said I couldn't fight. They said I'd never be a boxer. And they said that evil always wins.
God, you threw a curveball. So this is the thing. He's done a fantastic job of the last one being the last couple times from like our interviews, like because I interviewed HP a couple years ago and he pulled a line from there. But I don't feel like this is something you said in an interview to us.
You said that in the Maestro interview. You wouldn't be a boxer.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I don't think this was so. He knew I was ready for it. He knew I was ready for it. So
they said I wasn't born. They said I couldn't fight. They said I'd never be a boxer. And they said that evil always wins.
The heck? What are you going with?
That's a famous quote, but I can't believe that that's Fast and the Furious. I'm going to say this is a Canadian. Random Canadian thing that you found somewhere.
I'm going to go Fast and Furious.
So remember Lamorne Morris and this thing called 24/7 Tebow versus Mayweather?
Yes.
That would be famous Canadian David J. Phillips as Tim Tebow.
Oh my God.
If you haven't watched it, that was the highlight of my day. 24/7 Tebow versus Mayweather is the Lamorne Morris as Floyd Mayweather, but you as Tim Tebow. And
Where did you even find this. That? Is that even still online? I haven't seen that in years.
It is on YouTube, and it is all the episodes, and I definitely watched all the episodes. It is the fact that you didn't tell us about that in Tallgrass where we've been drinking all night, disservice to you, sir. That was probably the greatest thing I've seen after. It doesn't even matter. It's Tebow versus Mayweather, and then all the Fast and Furious movies. You got Lamorne Morris as Floyd Mayweather, and you as Tim Tebow punching the Bible. Hey, man, you know, credit to you. Thank you for making my research so great today.
This pulled up now. I'm gonna have to check this out after the fact.
Like, that's unbelievable, man. I am so touched. I'm touched. I did that many years ago. That's how I met Lamorne. We did that sketch together. That was, I don't know, I think it's like 3 or 4 episodes of this comedy show that they were doing. And I played Tim Tebow as, you know, very caricature Bible thumping type. And he was hilarious as Floyd Mayweather. And
hey, I got a glimpse of the shirtless physique, man. No. You were shirtless a lot, so we got to bulk
he's
up
ready,
a little
he's
bit
ready
for
the,
slow and cautious.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I didn't hide that. I said that has to happen. There's a lot of steroid use that has to happen, and a lot of time spent lifting things and sweating. But I'm willing to do it for the franchise because, like I said, that's what I give to the films that I'm a part of. You know?
I tried to get the
YTV. Not about money.
I tried so hard at the video game top 10 YTV. They don't have 2000 or 2001 episodes on YouTube, but they do have 24/7 Tebow versus Mayweather.
Awesome. That's a great find. But let us not forget to, obviously, as we mentioned, eat Wheaties wherever you purchase your digital films. And obviously, as we said, in June, you can catch this wonderful Tony. Where is it? Down here. This wonderful Tony Hale on DVD as well. David, it was awesome. As I've also mentioned, the Maestro was great. Loving all the things you're doing. Always excited to see what's next from your production crew, and really excited, as we've talked about, for the projects you're working on. Check them out. Let me move Tony Hale so we can also see where you are at on, I'm assuming, on Instagram.
Instagram, Twitter, yeah.
Twitter, okay, perfect.
Broads. Yeah, guys, honestly, I feel mutual, man. It's always so good to hang with you both, and, you know, especially not having the Film Fest thing this year. And I appreciate the support throughout my career and the fact that you guys are doing this. And I love watching to see where this stuff goes next, too. Because you guys are bringing this stuff out. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Everybody listening. Now, remember, I've said this every episode this season. We love that so many of you listen to this podcast. But remember, this is a video podcast. If you would have seen David's face when the 24/7 thing got brought up, so much better. So head on over to our YouTube. Head to YouTube. Search Project Nerd. Find all of our awesome content, including that Nerdcast episode we talked about, I'm Not Famous, and the many amazing things we're doing, all the way from all these video podcasts to unboxing videos to I'm getting excuses now to buy Legos to do time-lapse videos. It's wonderful. I've never been able to buy Legos before, so it's fantastic. Point being, we have it all. Go over to YouTube. If you do like the audio or you want to catch us while you're traveling to work like Carrie does, you can pick us up wherever you get your Project Nerd podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, all those wonderful places. And as always, head on over to projectnerd.com. That's project-nerd.com for so much amazing content, including all the stuff that I mentioned, plus reviews, blogs, stuff, all that fun stuff. Awesome. David, it was a pleasure. So happy to talk. We'll talk some more after we kick this audience out of here. Got to get them out of here. They've overstayed their welcome. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Hey, we love you. Buy a Patreon. You get this interview, extended interview for free.
Extended interview. There you go. There you go.
Make sure to check out their OnlyFans accounts. Great right there as well.
it is fantastic. We have a joint one too, so it's extra bald love for you. Actually, I think that's pretty sure that's the title of it. But anyways, it was an awesome season, Carrie. I love doing this with you, David. We loved having you on, and everybody else on. For all of you listening, throw us some ideas for our next season theme, because I think we've got to stick on themes now for the future seasons. We've got to make another film franchise, because, you know, after our next decade of doing Slow and Cautious, we've got to move on to the next thing. So until next time, remember, Carrie and I are not famous. Still offering to the drone machine to give another face. still here, it's over. Go home. Go.